We're learning Shuvah Dichavedat, we're in Chelek Bet, Siman Memtet, one last Shuva about watches. We talked about what he calls Shaon Yad Ragil, which is either a mechanical or an automatic watch. What about more modern watches that have a battery? A regular, what we call regular, he calls regular something else, depends when you're writing the Shuva, a battery-powered watch. So we know you're allowed to wear a battery-powered watch. The question is why? Why is that okay? Generally speaking, you can't use batteries on Shabbat. You're not allowed to use batteries. In fact, batteries are muktzeh. So there's a battery in the watch. So why is that okay? I'm putting it on my hand with the purpose of walking around with it. I know it's there. I'm putting it on. Shouldn't it be muktzeh? Good question. So there are those who said, no, you can't wear any watch on Shabbat. There's a Shabbat of Shvud Yaakov. You know why? Yisur Mezida, we talked about this. You're measuring. He says, maybe it'll make noise. And he says, muktzeh machmat chesron kis. It's so fancy. It's so this. You're only going to, with something that's so expensive and so that you're so nervous about it being used, so that might become muktzeh. Rav Adya Yosef writes, you're not measuring anything. It doesn't have to make noise. Most watches don't make noise. And so don't wear the fanciest watch on the planet, then you won't have a problem. No. Okay. But what about a battery-powered watch because of the battery? And maybe that's a problem because why? For a moment, the battery is asur. You can't use batteries on Shabbat. We know that. So the watch isn't the battery. But we know that there's a concept known as basis ledavar ha'asur. If you take a battery and put it on the plate becomes muktzeh as well. Right? The plate is now a basis ledavar ha'asur. It's the basis. Right? Basis. It's the base. It's holding something that's asur. So now the plate becomes asur also. So the battery is inside the watch. The battery is muktzeh. Now the watch is basis ledavar ha'asur. So why is that acceptable?
If anything, there, I think it would make more sense if it might break, and then I might either change the time and or wind it up.
I don't know. You don't have to watch. So at the end, he says, you don't have to make up such things. He says, look, he's going to allow it. We'll go through why. He says, and what if there's a light on it? So don't push the light. You don't make a zero there, Rabbanan. Don't wear a watch because you might push the light. That, you're not allowed to make up zeros. Maybe it'll break and you'll fix it. I don't know. You don't have to make a zero. If your watch breaks every day, you might fix it. So then, okay, but it's not a normal occurrence. I think with a smartwatch, things change. I think with a smartwatch, I don't have one, but with a smartwatch, you usually can't even see the time unless you touch it. You look at it like you actually have to interact with it to see the time. So that's definitely not allowed on Shabbat because it doesn't just show it to you. You have to actually do something. I think with an Apple, you have to have my kids in class do this. I don't know. Fitbit is a different story. The Fitbit may or may not have a... So let's deal with the Fitbit separately. Meaning I'm talking about just telling the time. Let's deal with simple... So there's no Gemara on Shaon. Why? So you know what time it is. No. There's no Shaon in the time of the Gemara. There's no watch. The Gemara didn't have a watch. So, no, it's not a Tachshit. It's to tell the time. I want to know what time it is. No. So he's saying no. He's saying no. You want to be able to tell the time. It's used. It has a Tashmish. So he says, well, the source for this discussion... No, you have to touch it. How do you see the time? No. You can't see it without the touching it. You can't interact with it. That's not allowed. Anything you have to touch or push or this to see the time, that's definitely not allowed. Okay, but the regular watch, you don't need to push. Even the digital watch, you don't need to push. You can look. You see the time. The question is just beside the battery. Is the battery is muktzeh. Does the watch become muktzeh because of the battery? That was yesterday, yeah. So that was the previous tshuva. So that's allowed. That's allowed. Yes, that's certainly allowed. Yes. I'm happy to discuss, we discussed it the previous 2 days, I'm happy to go through the details separately. Yeah. So he said, then it's not allowed. Correct, unless it's already working. Correct. No, if it's still working, you can continue the winding. If it stops, correct. That was yesterday, I'm happy to share the file with you. We'll discuss separately, yeah. So what about the battery? But it works. So the question is the muktzeh. So he says, well, what about, they discussed this before about a hearing aid. A hearing aid also has a battery. So the Shabbat of Rav Adya Hadaya, he says, no hearing aids on Shabbat. The battery's muktzeh. Shnia. Rav Adya Hadaya in the Shabbat Yaskil of the, he says, no, battery, not allowed. Everybody disagrees. So he says, don't. No, the Shabbat's about a hearing aid. He says, don't. Now, all the, actually, let me finish. Let me finish the... So then he's going to die, so that's a different story. Meaning, you could live without hearing. Meaning, there are different needs, right? Most of my students will tell you they need their phone on Shabbat also. There are clearly different needs. A pacemaker, you need to live, right? A hearing aid, you don't need to live. Now, it adds, I can't even imagine what kind of a tremendous enhancement it is to your Onig Shabbat. Rav Avadia Hadayah says no. All the other poskim say yes. Now the question is, what about the battery? What about mukseh? Now I would have told you, even if it's mukseh, the benefit of being able to hear overrides the isur mukseh. Okay. But what about the watch? Because if you don't have a watch, you'll just be early to everywhere. I know, it's a Friday coming down. But pretend, you'll be early everywhere just in case. So what about the battery? So he says like this, there's a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish based on the Gemara and Shabbat. The Gemara and Shabbat wants to know about Ner Shemen Uptila. You have a candle. Back in the day it was a oil candle. The Ner is not a candle. The Ner is the container. The Shemen is the oil and the Ptila is the wick. What about the Ner, the Shemen, and the Ptila? Are they mukta? So the Gemara says, Hanach Ner Shemen Uptila Shina Asa Basis LeDavar Asur. The Ner, the Shemen, and the Ptila are mukta because of the Shalhevet. Because of the flame, it sounds like in the Gemara, the Ner, the Shemen, and the Ptila are not mukta on their own. They're only mukta because they're a Basis LeDavar Asur. Because they are now supporting something not allowed, the Shalhevet. So he says, why? I'm allowed to use the Shalhevet. I'm allowed to benefit from the Shalhevet. I'm allowed to have a candle lit on Shabbat. I'm allowed to benefit from it. So what's the difference between the Ner, Shemen, Uptila, which I'm allowed... They only exist to make light. That's why they exist. The Ner, Shemen, Uptila, when there's no fire, exists to make light. If that's not Mukta, why is the light, the flame Mukta? He says, why? Because when it's lit, when the fire is on, you don't move it. Now, either you don't move it because it's not normal to move it, or you're not allowed to, al pi din, to move it. When the fire is lit, you're not allowed to move it because as you move it, you'll burn a little bit more here, a little bit more there. You're going to cause more or less burning. You're going to violate an Isur Torah. So you're not allowed to move it. He says, you know what mukta really means? Mukta means things you're not allowed to move. So because you're not allowed to move it, it's now mukta. Right? That's why it's mukta, because you're not allowed to move it. He says, that's why when the fire goes out, you're allowed to move it. Because the only reason you weren't moving it... Leave that out for a moment. Leave that aside. Eliezer's pointing out, what if it was mukta when Shabbat began? Let's assume for somehow the light turned on Shabbat. Meaning, why is it only telling you, then that would apply to before. Why is it only basisul davar asur, not mukta on its own? It's not mukta on its own, because... You can move them. The only time it's mukta is because you can't move it. When the fire is burning, you cannot move it. And when the fire is off, then there's no reason not to move it. And therefore, it's only mukta when the fire is lit, because now it's a basis ledavar asur, because you can't move it. Once the fire is off, you can move it, and therefore it's not mukta. So he says, and therefore, a watch, you're allowed to move. Meaning it's normal to wear it moving. That you don't leave it in one place. It's not stationary. And when you move it, you're not making the battery go more or less. You're not changing the electric usage of the watch while it's moving, just for a moment. And therefore, he says, there is no prohibition of mukta by a watch, because it's darkoli taltil. It's normal to move it around. It's normal to wear it and move. And therefore, by definition, that's not a problem of mukta. Only by a candle was it a problem, because when the fire is lit, you cannot move it. When the fire is off, you can move it. So when you can move it, it's not mukta. He says in the footnote, the same thing with a smicha chashmalit. You have an electric blanket. An electric blanket, so it's a blanket, with wires and stuff going in it, that's going to heat the blanket. So a blanket is not mukta, but are the wires mukta? Meaning, and then if the wires are mukta when it's on, so then the blanket itself is basis ledavar asur. He does the same thing. Because it's normal to move it, you wear a blanket, you move it around, you don't just leave it in one place. You wear it, you move around in it. That's the normal usage of the blanket. Therefore, if it's darkoli taltel, you're allowed to use it on Shabbat. It's not a problem of mukta, of basis ledavar asur. It's a very interesting approach, that anything that is normal to move, as long as you're not violating a prohibition while you're moving it, meaning if it was a real flame, you're not allowed to move it because you're violating an isur when you're actually moving the real flame, because it's burning more or less wax at the same time. But that's not happening with the blanket. You couldn't adjust it. You couldn't touch anything. Fine. But so long as it's on, that's not a problem. Same thing with the watch. Same thing with the electric blanket. He says, you don't make up Gzeirot. Maybe it'll unplug. Maybe it won't unplug. That's not an issue. And therefore, a watch with a battery is permissible on Shabbat. And the smicha chashmalit is also permissible on Shabbat. Fascinating discussion. What if the battery stops? If the battery, he doesn't talk about this here. What if the battery stops on Shabbat? Does the watch now become muktzeh? Because now it's useless. Now the watch is useless. So now it comes to this tachshit. If you knew the watch was broken, would you still wear it? Would you still wear it if you knew it was broken? Some people will say, yeah, it's a fancy watch. It looks nice. No way, I'm wearing it because it looks nice. No one's really looking if it tells time. I wear it anyway. So for that person, it's a tachshit. It's jewelry, and it's okay. If I said, well, if my watch doesn't work, I'm not wearing it. So if I discover over the course of Shabbat that my watch isn't working, I need to take it off. Otherwise, I'm violating Tiltul Muktzeh. Maybe according to the Prima Gadim, because I'm still holding it, it's still on my watch. There might be room to be lenient in that regard, as long as you don't have to put it down. But generally speaking, we assume that while it's working, it's not Muktzeh, and it's allowed.